Hey, what's going on? This is the Educated Guest Podcast, and I'm Justin, your host. Hey, if this is your first time joining, I just want to say thank you for becoming a part of this virtual art school. We have three core tenets that we remember and we keep deeply, deeply ingrained in our mindset when we approach any lecture that we provide, any sort of curriculum that we're hoping to organize. And it's this, the first of which is about the development of the mindset of the multidisciplinary artists of the future. How do you sort of develop a sort of equanimity about approaching your work, a detachment from the result, a detachment from any point of achievement, so that you can actually let the work flow through you and you become a vessel for beauty, if you will. So that's the first tenet. The second one is about the development of practicum, if you will, the practical approach, the templates, the tools, the tactics that are needed to further your development as an artist, as a designer. So when it comes to how do you actually launch a client project, how do you actually gather feedback, how do you give feedback? And we're constantly testing ideas, and we're constantly doing these things out in the market, so we can actually provide some information to you about best practices and case studies to learn from and potentially build on top of in your own time. So that's number two. The third core tenet and pillar that we're operating underneath is sort of this idea of resetting your algorithm, resetting your sources of inspiration so that you can become a multidisciplinary designer, a liberal artist of sorts, a true philosopher whose medium is just the visual arts, or medium is the manipulation of sound, whose medium is the manipulation of the English language or whatever language you actually speak. That's our purpose. That's our mission. And those are our foundational tenets for everything that we talk about. So that said, I know I've just outlasted the entire intro song, but here we are still. If you're interested in more content related to those three core tenets, then you can dig a little bit deeper into this ecosystem and go to educated-guest.com and just subscribe to our newsletter. We don't bother you with a whole bunch of random emails, mostly because we don't like email either. But we understand it's an effective form of direct communication when there's something important to say. So that said, today's lecture is actually with regard to the development of the mind. So we call this our incomplete thought segment, and all of the lectures underneath this sort of function have to do with building a mindset that's sustainable and repeatable to handle all of the uncertainty, not only in 2020, as we all know, but in perpetuity, because there's always going to be uncertainty. I mean, I'll probably share some future thoughts on this idea of entropy and how that actually rules the universe. And we'll talk about that at a later date. But for now, I want to talk about a particular topic that's been inspiring to me, both from some recent reading I was doing and also from my past experiences. And it's this concept of working from the inside out. And what this has to do with, before we get into the details of all that, what this means, this has to do with where I personally think the design industry, if it is an industry in and of itself, is going. And I think, how do you prepare, how does one prepare his or her mindset for this inevitable future? And, you know, some of this, if you hear me say that, it's like, oh, well, you're about to just start pontificating, which is a big word that I just didn't expect to come out then. But it's really not that big of a word. We need to raise our verbal acumen and stop using basic words anyway. There's so many words in English language just make life more interesting if you find the ability to use them. So that said, let's talk a bit about what this means. What I hope to do in this lecture is to simply underscore a consistent problem that a lot of people are experiencing. I want to touch on that pain for a bit, and I want to touch on a potential solution to that pain. And from there, we'll see where we end up at the end of this. So let's talk about the pain. The pain here is, if you're anything like me or anyone else who's a practitioner of the arts or of the creative field, or in general, you've worked in some type of product environment where you're not exchanging dollars for hours of time. If there's any product involved, you've probably seen a structure that looks a little bit like this. Assuming that there's about five levels of hierarchy in decision-making at any given place, at least five, then most often designers at companies who deliver a product do not have the end say. And it's if you were to draw an org chart out for any product company that has design, thinking design as a department, then it's very usually probably about two steps up from the very foundational ladder of, all right, well, they get a say in this decision we're about to make, or we should bring them into the meeting. And, you know, there's a lot of people who talk about design thinking and its benefits to overall society, and benefits to the celebration. And I would argue probably from late 2008 to 2020 now, or probably somewhere around 2016, 2017, actually, we saw this resurgence of design thinking. And a friend of mine actually outlines this in his design and tech report. John Maeda actually publishes this, and he has many books that talk about this idea of computational design. And we've moved beyond this period, and he outlines it much more clearly than I can. So if you go and read his, I believe it's 2019 Design and Tech Report, you'll see what I'm talking about, where he outlines these three segments of design. He has this classical design period, he has this design thinking period, and then he has what he calls the computational design period. So when I think about working from the inside out, I think about this pain, this insidious pain of being a young, excited designer who's finally getting paid to like move pixels around in Photoshop, who's finally getting paid to like share his or her thoughts in meetings, who's finally getting paid to do the things they used to do in art class or art school. And then you get there and you realize that, wait a minute, the longer I stay here, I'm not getting any more voice in these meetings in this current role. And that's a lot of the frustration that people experience in their 20s. Because if there is any sort of hierarchy of senior to junior to intermediate design roles at large product companies or even medium-sized product companies, those top-tier design roles aren't actually moving pixels around. They're making strategic business decisions. They're making strategic design decisions. They're able to hold conversation in a way that is more focused on the bottom line in the P&L than the underscore on some poster. And I hate to sound so, you know, anti-design right now. The point is to deal with the truth. The reason I'm saying some poster, it's like, nah, like I worked all night on that poster. But in the grand scheme of where things are moving, that still is just some poster in that organization. That's some ad that you had to make. That's some banner image that you had to make. That's some JPEG that you sent over. That's some PNG that you sent over. That's some SVG that you sent over. And there it is. And this is an episode, as you can tell, very heavily geared towards the visual arts. So people who might be product designers, graphic designers, interaction designers too, to some degree, like, you know, you're frequently just in the weeds. You don't have a lot of decision-making ability. You don't have a lot of clout to actually have your decisions be heard. And even if you did, your decisions aren't moving the needle so much so that we're still celebrating the prize designer in the way that Jony Ive was celebrated in, you know, the early 2000s and late 90s to some degree for folks who actually knew him then. So what we're witnessing right now, and the reason why I wanted to talk about this today under this name of working from the inside out, is to underscore this necessity to relieve yourself from that pain. You can't sit there in that pain and expect to continuously go and do something that has nothing to do with what you want to do, and then come home and find a way to like be who you want to be. So let me go deeper on that, because I think the people who hear me say that will be split in half, right? Half of the people will think, oh, well, he's saying, go quit my job, go do this and just do what I'm passionate about. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the longer you spend living a life that is not integrated and is not holistic to who you want to be and who you feel comfortable being and who you can be excited about when you look in the mirror, that's going to impact your development, your happiness, and how you show up in your relationships and how you show up in your friendships and how you show up at your job in perpetuity. It's always going to impact. So I'm saying that if you aren't satisfied with the truth that design at large product companies and medium-sized product companies is becoming a commoditized utility, and this is a tough truth that nobody wants to listen to, especially early in their career, because they say it ain't so until you actually get there and you realize that it is so, that the same way large companies are using labor arbitrage, meaning, you know, offshoring teams and figuring out where the cheapest labor exists for the commoditized price or the commoditized activity that you need to get done in the meantime, like, you know, building new random HTML websites or basic JavaScript websites or doing basic like C3 and D3 graphs in JavaScript on some analytics dashboard or whatever, or some, you know, whatever it is, you're probably going to outsource that if you're a product company because it's more cost advantageous. So the next thing to be commoditized and is already being commoditized in that way with the advent of something like Canva is the ability to just the former art of simply being a graphic designer, the former art of simply being a visual designer, the former art of being a product designer. These titles mean nothing anymore. They don't mean anything. They won't mean anything. And you need to understand that they won't. What will mean something is the ability to communicate ideas just like it's always been. This is the same thing that's been, you know, etched literally in the tombs of the pyramids. This ability to leave your mark, this ability to physically and conceptually in the sense, leave your mark. Those are the people that are remembered. Those are the people that are valued in societies, and those are the people that are valued across epochs of time. So it's important that you understand yourself. And that's why we talk about that a lot here in every single lecture, is the development of self. Regardless if you work some dead-end job that you don't like, regardless if you work at a studio that you love, the goal is, and it depends on which form of philosophy or psychology you care to study. The humanists might believe that, you know, the goal of humanity is to express oneself, and, you know, the fundamentalists might believe that, you know, the goal of every human is to, you know, give praise to some higher being. And, you know, I think you could study philosophy all day long and just find counter arguments for everything. So it's definitely fun. Like, I'm not downplaying the need for or the interest you might have in philosophy, but that's not what we're here to talk about today. It's to simply underscore the point that I'm making. There is a pain that exists. I'll repeat this point again. There's a pain that exists that won't go away unless you find your own route out of it, to where you will be commoditized. You will be commoditized in a modern capitalist society. Not even modern. This is a very old capitalist society we live in. In the current climate of capitalism, it's important that you understand which things will be commoditized next. And if you are at risk of being commoditized, meaning is your skill unique? Is your style unique? And better yet, not even style, because style means nothing. It's about, are you able to adapt appropriately to communicate what it is you care to communicate? period. And that's the pain that won't go away. Now, you might be asking, okay, like, why are you talking so much about this pain? Like, why are you caring so much about this pain? And what is the solution? So to answer a couple of those questions you might have, number one, why am I talking about it so much? I'm talking about it because I recognize that when the dust settles eventually from the social upheaval that is happening, that's importantly happening right now, from the economic upheaval that is happening, from the political upheaval that will happen, from the global upheaval that will happen, from the migration and urban planning upheaval that will happen, from the change of work that will happen. Like, all these things are happening in real time. We're experiencing roughly 10 years of change compressed in, I would argue we're experiencing roughly 10 years of change compressed into, this is a rough 10 months. Like, that's a very aggressive timeline, I understand, but you have to understand that all we're dealing with now are the fallout. Like, what do we do with the fallout of the inevitable? So something like Zoom is a perfect example. You know, the reason why people are able to write cyberpunk fiction and things like The Matrix, things like Blade Runner, things like Akira, things like the list just goes on, Minority Report. The reason why people are able to write these things, Fahrenheit 451, write these things, is because a capitalist society, and this is no wrong on capitalism. We need a new form of capitalism is all I'm saying. And as a side note there, the problem with capitalism is that it requires that productivity, the truth about capitalism, it's not a problem. Very objectively, the truth about capitalism is that it requires that productivity continue to go up. So as productivity needs to go up, commoditization and cost savings is imperative. And if you aren't able to articulate your uniqueness and the mark that you are able to leave conversationally, generationally, then you're going to be at risk for being commoditized and ultimately automated out of a job. So while I don't have a 5-point bullet plan to relieve yourself of this pain, I don't have a 12-step plan for you. There are, you know, there's plenty of programs out there at this point in time that can help you relieve yourself of this pain and understand more about the pain and understand how this pain is not just unique to you. I don't have a 12-step plan that I can just deliver right now in hopes that you understand. But what I do have, the good news is that there are a couple mindset shifts you can take to develop a new approach to working. How to adapt your studio, how to adapt your agency, how to adapt your ability to show up for a big company that can pay dividends in perpetuity that might not make sense right now, but, you know, won't just be a Band-Aid solution. So the first thing I would advise, if I were speaking to a lower version of myself, if I were imagining the best version of myself speaking to the lowest version of myself, I would say something like this. I would say, hey, if you're not happy, and this is speaking specifically to people who are, you know, working with a client they don't really like, doing work they don't really like, but it's their own retainer is paying the bills, or they're working at a job they really don't like and they have no decision-making power. If you're unhappy in that circumstance, you have to first evaluate where you exist within the grand structure of your organization. Do you exist on rung number one of the ladder, rung number two of the ladder, and rung number three of the ladder? And that has nothing to do with age or seniority. That has to do with how decisions are made, who drives the decision-making. At some places it's product managers, some places it's product designers, some places it's, you know, marketing managers. Like, you have to understand how your organization, specifically product companies, are laid out. And that's the first question I would ask myself. And I would say, self, are you being honest with what the circumstances actually are? Are you being honest with yourself? And if, as long as it takes to ask that question until I could say yes, that's the only question I need to be asking. Can you see what is actually going on? And are you honest about where you exist? That's the first. The second question is, do you want to be part of the solution? Do you actually want to work within this company to lay a brick. There's benefits. There's many benefits to a bricklayer. And I think I've spoken about that at length before in a previous lecture about this idea of being a bricklayer and how it's a total, complete mind shift. And it's a mindset and a mind shift worth respecting from everyone. The bricklayer deserves respect. So as you think about that, you have to understand that that's what you will be. And you have to prepare in all ways to be that person. And you have to understand that you will not be lauded for your efforts. You will not be celebrated for your ideas. Your ideas might not even be communicated as your ideas. Your ideas might not even be communicated as your own. So, for example, if you got a problem with the fact that, you know, the banner images that y'all are posting on behalf of the organization are performing well, but are performing well in terms of, you know, click-through rate or even pay-per-click or return on investment, ad spend, and you work for some product company that, as long as they're getting in return, it's okay, but you just can't really see the visual benefit. You think there's a better way to articulate the brand than that, and you don't really want to become part of rebuilding the whole brand style guide for the company only to not see your name at the top, then you have to be honest with that. You have to be honest with the fact that I don't want to be a part of the change here. And that's not a problem if you do or if you don't. The only problem is if you're not honest. And there's a number of philosophers. I was just talking to a friend about yesterday. A number of philosophers who talk about this, but the core difference between a human and an animal is that a human can lie to oneself. A human can lie to oneself. And it's the most remarkable thing that is the cause of all suffering is when you, not the cause of all suffering, because sometimes the truth is also a form of suffering that you experience, but to lie to oneself is suffering in perpetuity. Suffering in perpetuity. So that's the second question I would ask. And then the third question my higher self would ask my lower self, or my highest self, highest form of my current self, not who I am 60 years from now, not who I was 5 years ago. It's like, in my current form, the best of me advising the worst of me. Here's what I would say. I would say, hey, well, understanding that those two things are true and understanding that your response to those two questions is as true as they can be, are as true as they can be. You have to ask yourself, how do you want the org structure to look? And this is where we get into the concept of working from the inside out. And when you ask yourself, how do you want the org structure to look? You have to understand that there are a couple of organizational types, organizational typologies, if you will, with how you position design within a company. And if you were to be the very first designer within a company, let's say it's a startup and you're like head designer, head of brand, head of marketing, whatever, and technically, as the company grows, it's your job to like build out a design team, or you're out of a job. And what you realize is that, oh, I'm going to build the design department. What most people don't realize is that that is a one-way ticket in one particular direction. To even say that design is a department is a direct indicator of a complete thought pattern that, honestly, in my opinion, devalues the growth of future designers that are hired as the group grows. So that's one particular direction. The next direction is that you could, you know, decide, and there's plenty of organizations that run like that. Like Apple has its design incubator and it's very well documented. No one can actually speak to them. Their part of the building is very well, you know, guarded. You have to have special security access. All that stuff is well documented, well publicized. So there's companies that do that, and that's fantastic. I think with product design, that is important to sort of have a product design group. But what we're talking about in particular is design from a standpoint of marketing, probably from a standpoint of brand language, from a standpoint of brand development, from brand growth. And outside of just being the person who has, you know, is moving pixels around all day to get four versions of a new brand refresh logo to post on the board, to sit down and say, hey, here's what we came up with, and then have eight different people rip it to shreds. And you have to go back to square one, and they don't even know how to open Illustrator, let alone build a new idea. So they're just hovering over you virtually. to get some new idea that's magically going to fit whatever it is this, they're imagining in their head. So you have to understand how to flip the script to become someone who can invite new conversation, that can become a steward for new forms of design. And this is where I referenced earlier sort of the idea of computational design, inclusive design. And inclusive design is often spoken about with regard to accessibility. However, I really think inclusive design also can be sort of an intrinsic motivator for how organizations are structured. How do you not just, offer design thinking classes to all the business people and all of a sudden everybody's a designer, so nobody's a designer? And as you spread the wealth, the people who had the prior skill of expertise no longer are specialized. So since everybody has this general knowledge, then what good are you? So understanding that these things are true and understanding that you either want to be part of the solution or you don't, or you want to go start your own company or you don't, or you want to not even work in design anymore or you don't. Like, these things are all truths you have to accept. And when you're working from the inside out, you realize that whether you are an agency seeking a client, whether you are inside of a company, in business, the things that matter most to move the ball forward, to move the needle, it's going to be very simple. Over thousands of years is still profit. Over thousands of years is still the bottom line. Over thousands of years is still cash flow. Over thousands of years is still cost of goods sold. Like, these are some very basic, it's gross profit, net profit. These are some very basic metrics that at the end of the day, you're hoping to drive. And to learn how to have a conversation around the connecting node between beauty in the work and a bottom line that can grow, that's where the sweet spot is. And that's how you start relieving yourself of the frustration of always being at the bottom of the totem pole, always being at the bottom of the pecking order, never having to say, like, you learn where to start the conversation. And I really think that would relieve yourself of a lot of the pain you might be experiencing. So that's my take. That's my verbal underscore of working from the inside out. We'll talk soon. Peace.